Romans chapter 5. Let's start there this morning. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. We've been trying to look back at the I guess we would consider them Bible basics. You know, Diane, the books we've read over the last few years particularly have helped us to refocus, I guess. And we were focused on discipling here. We want to make disciples, not just born again. Born again is great, praise God, but people need to be going on from there. And so there's some important things that people need to know right from the beginning. The sad part is some of us are, you know, 10, 20, 30 years in the body of Christ and don't know some of the things that we should have been told first thing. And so, you know, it's our responsibility. Most of you have been in the body of Christ for a number of years, to know those things for yourself and to be able to share them with other people. So, you know, we're talking about Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God. So we talked about the grace that makes it available, the faith that takes a hold of it, the salvation itself we talked about, and this morning we want to focus on righteousness. Well, sometimes we, as teachers, we stay away from some of these words because they're big words, and who's going to understand what they are, but it's important that we do. There's certain words, you don't have to know the whole bit of, you know, you get eschatology, you know, some of these things that you have to learn in Bible school, in Bible training centers. But this is an important word. It's also, when you see the word in the New Testament, just or justify, same word, just translated for some reason different in different places, but righteousness. So in Romans 5:17, it's written this way about that. For if by the transgression of one, death reigned through the one, and it's talking about Adam. Adam sinned and brought sin into existence as far as human beings are concerned. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace, and that, there's a lot that we could say about that, and I taught on grace a few weeks ago, but think of it in terms this morning of you got saved. The grace of God made salvation available to you, and you took hold of it by faith. The abundance of grace. Abundance means an exceeding measure, above the ordinary. Not just a little bit. The biggest miracle that you'll ever need from just about every one of you as I look around this morning has already happened. You were dead in sin, and now you're born again, children of God. So, receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. We are supposed to reign in life. The gift of righteousness, the word for gift is means free gift. It wasn't something that you could earn. You can't earn it. You didn't earn it. It's not like whatever that commercial is, they earned it. This is something that was just given as a gift. When it's given as a gift, all you can do is just receive it. Just believe it and receive it. The gift of righteousness, the righteousness we're going to talk about, really probably the best definition I think I've ever heard and read in different places. This is right out of Strong's dictionary. The state of him who is as he ought to be, righteous. The state of him who is as he ought to be. The gift, the free gift, not earned, of righteousness. And by that we reign in life. To reign means to exercise the highest influence. To control. You know, when it comes down to it, if we get a hold of these things, if we get a hold of things like righteousness, then life won't control us. We'll control life. We won't be just doing the best we can under the circumstances, but we'll make the circumstances bow to us. We'll control the things around us. You won't have to have a flu season. We won't have to have dry times. We can just put off and put on. We can you know, steer our life in the right direction. We can. You can't totally control what happens on the outside, but when you're controlling what happens on the inside, then what happens on the outside really doesn't make that much difference in all situations. There can be sickness all around. You can you can go to work and everybody's sniffling and coughing and all those things, and yet it can't, you can keep it off of you when you understand who you are, righteous, the state of him who is as he ought to be, the state of her who is as she ought to be, righteous. Amen? Now, and I was thinking, Diana and I were listening to a CD from Doc from how many years back? You know, when that was, and of course, you know, and Doc's, he's teaching even then as if he's right in the middle of what's going on here now. It's just very sensitive to the Spirit of God. And he said something that clicked on the inside of me about identifying yourself. And he was talking from the standpoint of a bank. You go to the bank, you got money in there, and the first thing they want you to do is identify yourself. And I was thinking, you know, updating that to thinking about the computer and ATM, the automatic teller machine, I think. So you go and you've got money in there. Let's say that a multi-billionaire has put money in an account for you and said, you know, whatever you need, whenever you need something, just go to the ATM and get some money out for that. And so you decide that that ratty old car you've been driving needs to be updated. So you go to the ATM, and the first thing you're going to need to do is identify yourself. That you have to have a, I don't know what all, it's just the PIN, the personal identification number. And you put that in, and when you've identified yourself, you can get anything, any money that's in there, you can get out. So if you've got a multi-billionaire who, let's say he owned the cattle on 1,000 hills, who do we know like that? Let's say, you know, so there's an inexhaustible supply in there. All you need to do is be able to identify yourself. Now, here's the way, I hadn't thought about this before, but think about it from this standpoint. If I put the wrong PIN number in there, it doesn't matter what's in there. I ain't going to get it out. So as I identify myself, and the PIN number is something that the bank gives you, I think, right? You don't pick your own. So if I go to God, if I have a need and he's set all these things aside for me to take care of my needs and desires, but I don't identify myself by what he says that I am, how am I going to get anything out? So if I come and say, before I'm just gentle in life, talking about myself, I just can't. Poor old me. I'm sick. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Nothing ever works out for me. I'm guilty. I'm, you know, all these things that we do say a lot when we think about it. Shouldn't be thinking about anybody else. Should be thinking about what you say about yourself. And when we identify ourselves that way, we struggle to get out of the kingdom of God the things that belong to us. So, do we always feel righteous? I don't. But the Bible says that now that we're born again, we receive the abundance of grace. We receive the gift of righteousness. And therefore, the PIN number for this morning is, I'm righteous, praise God. Amen. Amen. Say it, I'm righteous.
I'm righteous.
It feels good when you think about it, praise God. You know, and I'm telling you, most of the places, most of the churches you'd go to today, they would frown on you, and to say the least. They wouldn't think well of you to say that. It sounds like, and if you don't understand where it's coming from, that you're bragging on yourself or that you're saying, I always do it right and I never make any mistakes. That's not what it's saying at all. It's saying you receive a gift of righteousness to make you just as you ought to be. And if we'll learn to use that, you know, things will go a lot better for us. Now, we're going to spend a lot of time in Romans chapter 10, so go ahead over there. I was I had a feeling that this was true, so I was looking at in the old King James Bible in the study helps there to see how many times how many times the Apostle Paul used the word righteousness, 57 times in his writings, and 33 times just in the book of Romans. And this is just righteousness. That's not counting righteous or just or justified or anything like that. So if you put all those together, I'd probably have to use algebra to figure it all out. That's why I didn't go that way. But I believe this was Paul's message. This was the Apostle Paul's message, because he was trying hard to be righteous outside of the gift, and he found out there's a gift. And when he found out, he wanted to tell everybody else too. I believe the Apostle Paul's message started when he was still Saul, before his name was changed, and he was on his way to Damascus. You read different times in the book of Acts, when he had a chance to testify or to preach, he'd say, I was on my way to Damascus. I was persecuting the church. He wanted to not just make them feel bad, he wanted to kill them. He had a lot of zeal about what he was doing, what he thought he was doing for the Lord. And a great light shone, fell to the ground, the Lord spoke to him, and he got born again in the midst of that. And his life was changed, and he recognized that he had received a gift. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 1, he said, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they be saved. You know, it got him, he was so interested in winning his fellow Israelites over to the Lord that he got him in trouble. I think that he made some mistakes along the way, because the instruction from God, as far as he was concerned, when he got to that Damascus, was God was sending him to the Gentiles. And God sent Peter to the Israelites. But everywhere Paul would go, he'd try to get those Israelites first. And he probably wouldn't have ended up in jail in Rome had he just listened to what God told him to do. Isn't it funny how that works out better when you do what God tells you to do? I don't think that it was God's will for him to end up in jail in Rome. And he used that along the way, and he ministered the gospel along the way. I think he could have gone to Rome just of his own free will. Amen? You know, people say, well, the Lord made me sick so I could be in the hospital and minister. Well, why not go to the hospital and minister without being sick? You know, I don't have to be sick to go there. It's a better way. So, but he was so interested in getting after the Israelites, and so he would preach there until they'd kick him out, and then he'd go to I'm going to go to the Gentiles. Well, Paul, next city, why don't you just go to the Gentiles? Just my thought, you know, not my place to instruct him, but too late now anyway. Verse 2, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. It's not enough to have zeal. It's not enough to just be excited about something. You've got to be excited about the right things. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Well, there's the story. Ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. To submit is to allow yourself to be affected by, to be dependent on, or conditional upon righteousness. Well, even though those of us who have received the gift of righteousness are still learning how to be subjected to the righteousness that we've been made. Amen? First of all, we had to learn to believe that we are righteous, and then to submit to that, to allow ourselves to be affected by that righteousness. Because the government might be saying something else. The situation around us might be saying something else. The people around us might be saying something else. The people we work for might be saying something else. But righteousness speaks to us too. And we need to allow ourselves to be affected by that. Amen. Now, this brings us, and hold your place there and see if you can get to over to Philippians chapter 3. Paul knew what he was talking about because he had been on both sides of this. Down to verse 5, Philippians chapter 3. And he's talking about himself and what he'd gone through, and he said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, which meant, you know, he was doing his best to keep every jot and tittle. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, and we just talked about that. Concerning the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. That's not bad. You know, he talks in a different place where he went, he was in the school of Gamaliel. He was a great student. He was well thought of. He was well on his way in the religious sect of being a Pharisee. And put a lot of time, everything that in his life up to that point, however, whatever age he was put in with total zeal to get that far. And he recognized, as he looks back on it, he recognized he was trying to establish his own righteousness. I wonder how much we would look back on our own life and say, you know, that was not God, that was just me trying to establish my own righteousness. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Everything that we work so hard for doesn't mean anything anymore when you recognize what you've been given as a free gift. Verse 9, and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, fellowship knows of his sufferings. We don't have to suffer to make things happen. Jesus suffered to make things happen. Being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now this expression here, if by any means, here's what one of the study books says, it does not necessarily express doubt, but strong desire or expectation that does not count the cost. Strong desire or expectation. It's not an expression we normally use when we, if we were saying it that way, if by any means we would be kind of hoping it's going to happen. This is in a Hebraic expression where it means to strongly expect. I guess another way to say it would be, if as is the case. Amen? And that's what Paul was experiencing in his life. So all of this that he put into getting that far, he just was willing to look back on it now and say, just throw that all away because I have the gift of righteousness. I become righteous through that gift. All right, back to chapter 10, Romans. In verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. This is how the only way to be righteous under the law would be to keep all the law. And even then, it really there still wouldn't be righteousness because we were born in sin. Even if you did everything right, you know, you could look back at somebody and say, well, I don't see where they ever made a mistake, but still they were born in sin. There is still a nature to deal with there. So we receive Jesus and change that nature. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Now what's it talking about there? This is a quote from Deuteronomy 30, 12 and 13, the Old Testament. Faith righteousness doesn't need Christ to come to earth. Doesn't need to have him come back again and do something for us. Doesn't need to see him. I think it'd be nice to be able to have a vision of Christ and have him walk into. I've heard different people talk about their vision. I believe Brother Hagin actually saw a manifestation of Christ different times. Amen. And that would be nice, but we're likely not to have that happen to us. It doesn't happen very often. And Brother Hagin used to say that most of the time when something like that happened, it was because there were some difficult times coming, and it gave him strength to look back and go through those times. So maybe we shouldn't ask for that. In fact, let me say, we shouldn't ask for that. We have the Word of God, praise God. We have the gift of righteousness, and we go on from there. But righteousness which comes by faith, faith righteousness, if I can put it that way, doesn't need him to come back again because he already came. Amen. Reading on. Verse 7. Or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead? It also, faith righteousness doesn't need to have Jesus again go to hell and come up out of hell because he already has. And really, see, faith righteousness understands that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. Faith righteousness understands that Jesus didn't begin in that babe in the manger. He already was. He just took upon him flesh and brought grace and truth for us. Faith righteousness realizes, I don't have to go to hell because he went to hell. It doesn't need him to come down. It doesn't need him to come up. It just receives what's already been done for us in Christ. Praise God. Verse 8. But what does it say? What does the righteousness of faith say? What does faith righteousness say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Praise God. It says that the gospel is near. The gospel is understandable. The gospel is not a long way off. Praise God for the great ministers that are around, but I don't have to get to Joyce Meyer? I don't have to get to one of her meetings. I don't have to get here in this building. I don't have to get to Tulsa. I don't have to get to Los Angeles. I don't have to get anywhere. Wherever I am, there's the gospel. And the gospel is more than just getting born again. It's getting healed. It's getting delivered. It's getting peace. It's getting whatever I need at the moment that I need it. There it is. Praise God. And I don't have to be like Daniel in the Old Testament and pray for so many days till it finally comes. No one has to battle through the heavens to get the answer to me. It's right here on the inside of me, praise God, because I'm, as I should be, I'm righteous. Righteousness. Whew, praise God. Good stuff. Verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you know, again, this is a great verses to use to get somebody born again, but that it's not, you know, you use that and then you push that away. This is how we live now, praise God. Confess with the mouth, believe in your heart, praise God. I was reading one of the books I was reading, and it said to confess Jesus as Lord equals accepting the truth that the babe of Bethlehem's manger is the Lord of life and glory, that the Jesus of the New Testament is the Lord Jehovah of the Old Testament. Praise God. Confessing Jesus as Lord. He's that same one. That when, who was it? One of the prophets of the Old Testament's parents, Gideon. I believe it was Gideon's parents. They had I think he was called the angel of the Lord, which may have been Jesus himself. Jehovah showed up. And boy, when they saw that, they had all they could. He actually thought he was going to die. I saw God. I'm going to die. That's what they thought at the time. But it must have been a startling thing to see. But yet we can see him without all that physical thing happening. We can see him in the Word of God and recognize the same one, Lord Jehovah. Come to live on the inside of us. Confess him as Lord, and also to come to that place of saying, I'm turning my life over to you. I'm going to do my best to figure out what you're telling me to do and go in that direction. Not because that's the only way I'll get anything, because everything's already been given to me. You don't work through and then finally get this stuff. He gives you the gifts, and then he says, all right, now go live. Now go live for me. I'll put it in you. Take it out and give it to other people. To believe that God raised Jesus from the dead is accepting the truth of his resurrection with all that that involves. And I don't think that we have even scratched the surface of understanding the great things that have happened for us and in us by accepting his resurrection. Think about this, you know, we're coming into the Easter season now. As soon as Jesus was raised from the dead, the work of the adversary was to delude and to get them to misunderstand or to look at that as a lie, to spread lies about that, that he can't be raised from the dead. Stories were beginning to come up. The disciples stole his body and carried it away somewhere, and all kinds of things like that. Right from the very beginning, you know when something like that is happening, there's some truth in there somewhere that's trying to be diluted and hid. Praise God, the truth is he's raised from the dead. He went to hell so he wouldn't have to. He had to release faith in his Father God like we do now, only he's already paved the way for us. He is the author and finisher of faith, praise God. He showed us how it works. And if he could work it in hell, whatever we're going through is not as bad as that. And we can believe God and believe our way out too, praise God, to under better things. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. It won't be disappointed. They can put their hope in God and they won't end up disappointed. If we end up disappointed, it's because our hope wasn't in the right place. We probably didn't recognize who we are. Probably didn't use our PIN number. Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon his name. There's no class distinction, no male or female distinction, no rich or poor distinction, no color of skin distinction. It's just come and receive. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Can't get any simpler than that. You know, somebody say, what if a person's not born again and they want to come to God and they have no voice? They've lost their ability to speak. Just believe. Just believe. What's the only thing that keeps people from Jesus? Don't believe. And this is why our, as it goes on, is this to in verses farther on, it talks about they need to hear. And so the people need to be sent so that they can hear. The Zirkles went to Guatemala to tell them in Guatemala, Jesus loves you, praise God. And they heard, and when they went to Guatemala, I think the percentage of truly born again children of God was maybe a quarter or something like that. It wasn't very much. And the last I had heard, there were more born-again people in Guatemala than there were not born-again, because they heard about righteousness and they heard about this Jesus who loves them, praise God. And that it's the same thing that we need to do. What do you need to tell people? You're going to hell. Well, some people might need to hear that, but most people need to hear God loves you. He's made it available to you to have righteousness. You don't have to keep working for it. He'll give it to you. Just got to believe in a God who loves you. Praise God. Here's one of the books we're reading. It says this. Concept of faith righteousness is a paradox. It seems so contradictory. Those who do not understand it think that it is a form of easy believism. Some falsely think that faith righteousness leads to a compromised life. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Accepting the righteousness of Jesus as our own connects us with the power of righteousness. Faith righteousness gives us the only escape from the sense of lack that draws us into sin. When you recognize you have righteousness, you got everything that you need. When you understand that you're righteous, doesn't make you want to sin more. It makes you want to sin less. You want to serve and fellowship with this loving Heavenly Father who's given us his righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise God.